Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Vav, 36. Perek Lamed Vav begins a story that took place in the 14th year of King Chizkiyahu, Melech Yehuda, and will continue throughout these prakim till Perek Lamed Tet. This is a nice review for those of you who have been doing Nach Yomi for the last few Svarim. The same story took place in Malachim Bet, Prakim Yud Chet through Chaf, so it's a nice review. We can appreciate these historical events after having studied so many Nevuot from Sefer Yeshayahu referencing the nation of Ashur and King Sancheirev and the serious threat to the city and inhabitants of Yerushalayim. For context, the Galut Aseret HaShvatim, the exile of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, took place in the 6th year of Chizkiyahu. So here we are 8 years later. We are also told in Malachim Bet about Chizkiyahu. We're introduced to this Melech Tzadik, even though he followed a Melech Rasha, his father Achaz. And we're told about the increased Torah study and observance from up north in Dan all the way south to Be'er Sheva. We're told there was no one who was found who was not well-versed in the laws of Tumah and Tahara during the time of Chizkiyahu. We know Chizkiyahu himself trusted in Hashem and did not serve the king of Ashur. This, of course, didn't sit well with the king of Ashur, who assumed Chizkiyahu would fear him and subjugate himself after seeing, after all, what he did to the northern kingdom. And also, we know that's what his father Achaz had done when faced with the imposing power of Ashur. Yet 8 years after the exile of the north, in Chizkiyahu's 14th year, Sancheirev comes down to Yerushalayim to overtake Yehuda as well and expand his kingdom. He attempts to intimidate Chizkiyahu and the people of Yehuda. He sends officers led by Rav Shakeh, who travels from Lachish to Yerushalayim to speak publicly to Chizkiyahu's officers. The officers mention that Rav Shakeh speaks to our Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, who we spoke about a few prakim ago, Shevna HaSofer, who most identify not as the Shevna that was the subject of a nevuah that we also spoke about several prakim ago, and the third person who was part of this audience was Yoach ben Asaf, who was the Mazkir, the recorder. Rav Shakeh mocks the trust that the nation places in Egypt to help them and their reliance on Hashem. In Pasuk Dalid, Ko Amar HaMelech HaGadol Melech Ashur, so says the great king of Ashur, Ma HaBitachon HaZeh Asher Batachta, what is this trust you are placing? And in Pasuk He, Al Mi Batachta Kima Radata Bi, who are you trusting and depending on that you have rebelled against me? Hine batachta al mishenet hakaneh haratzutz hazeh al Mitzrayim. He compares their reliance on Egypt to seeking the support of a broken reed. Asher yisameach ish alav uva vekapo unekava. This reed they are depending on will end up piercing a hole in the hand that holds it. He attempts logic. If you say you are relying on Hashem, and think logically for a moment, what did Chizkiyahu just do? He just removed the bamot and the mizbachot, the altars throughout the city of Yerushalayim that were designated for serving Hashem. He only left one in the Beis HaMikdash. So after all, Chizkiyahu got rid of all these means of worshiping Hashem. And so that's why also the king says to Chizkiyahu, in Pasuk Yud, that Hashem has told him to come and overpower Yerushalayim. Hashem amar Eli alei al haaretz hazot v'hashchita. So for these reasons, it seems that the people shouldn't be trusting in Chizkiyahu's actions, but rather should be placing their trust and obedience with the king of Ashur. Chizkiyahu's officers in Pasuk Yud Aleph try to have Sancheirev's men speak in Aramit and not in Yehudit, so that the general nation will not understand and be intimidated by the words being spoken. But Rav Shakeh, the officer in charge, refuses and speaks in Yehudit, the language of the people of Yehuda, for everyone around to hear the message. It could be that the officers make this request because Rav Shakeh's words were directed at actions only Chizkiyahu had taken, focusing on the reliance of Egypt and on Hashem. They're telling him that it makes sense to speak in the language that Chizkiyahu understands, and there's no need to address the people since they did nothing wrong and they weren't really the ones he's complaining about. However, Rav Shakeh refuses, as if to say that Chizkiyahu already is going to be punished for his treason, and his sole purpose in being here is to convince the people not to listen to their king. According to the rabbis, Rav Shakeh, this officer was an apostate, and that's why he was familiar with the prophecies that had been told to the people and the values they cherished, since he had originally been one of them. Eliakim, Shevna, and Yoach, the king's officers, asked him to speak in Aramit because they thought he might sympathize with the people of Yehuda since he used to be one of them. And maybe the reason he was being so harsh was that he was just following orders from the king of Ashur that he wasn't able to not obey. But he would have pity on actually frightening the people. But of course, that doesn't end up being the case, and he wants to turn them against Chizkiyahu. He's emotionally invested in this as well. He says in Pasuk Yud Gimel that the people should listen to the Melech HaGadol, the king of Ashur, as if to say that Chizkiyahu is a melech, a king of a much lesser stature, and should not be paid attention to. He warns the people in Psukim Yud Dalet and Tedvav of the danger of listening to Chizkiyahu and all of his Hashem talk. The first thing he attacks is Chizkiyahu's Midah of Bitachon. In Pasuk Ted Zayin, Al Tishmu El Chizkiyahu, Ki Ko Amar Ha Melech Ashur, Asu Iti Bracha, Utsu Elai, V'ichlu Ish Gafno, V'ish Te'inato, Ushtu Ish Me Boro. Don't listen to Chizkiyahu, but instead make peace with me, and each person will eat from his vine and under his fig tree, and each man will drink water from his own cistern. He offers them a good life in his land as a way of staying alive. I'll take you to a land just like your land. He uses the descriptors of Eretz Yisrael to describe his own land, of it being Eretz Dagan v'Tirosh, of grains and of grapes, and descriptors of peace, of people sitting under their vineyards and fig trees. Ish tachat kafno v'tachat te'inato is language that we're familiar with back in Malachim Aleph during the times of Shlomo, the golden age for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, where there was peace and prosperity. And now the king of Ashur is taking that same language and superimposing it on his own land. He logically explains to the nation in Psukim Yurchet through Chaf how no other god was able to protect its nation from Ashur. So why do you think your situation will be any different? Mi b'chol Elohei ha'aratzot ha'ele asher hitzilu et artzam miadi, ki yatzil Hashem et Yerushalayim miadi. No other gods were able to save, so why do you think Hashem will save Yerushalayim from my hands? The people of Yehuda who were listening do not respond in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, as they had been commanded not to do so by the king. And the perek ends with Eliakim, Shevna, and Yoach coming to inform Chizkiyahu about the words of Rav Shakeh, wearing ripped garments to reflect the message they received and their impending doom. This story of Sancheriv's intimidation of Yehuda and Rav Shakeh's words appear in Malachim Bet, as mentioned, as well as here. The Malbim notes that in terms of the chronology of when the story was written, Yeshayahu lived before Yirmiyahu, the author of Malachim Bet. So it seems that Yirmiyahu records this story based on Yeshayahu's initial account. So this parak can be seen as the original telling of the events. The Malbim pieces together three different accounts of the story. Not only do we have the story mentioned in Malachim Bet, as I said, and in our parak here from Yeshayahu, but also in Divrei Hayamim Bet as well. In Malachim Bet, there's mention of money that Chizkiyahu pays to the king of Ashur, which the Malbim understands to be that Chizkiyahu did pay a tribute to the king of Ashur when he first came in order to avert the immediate threat. He paid it to buy himself time to prepare for the inevitable confrontation with Ashur that he knew was going to transpire as they attempted to expand their control southward. Divrei Hayamim adds that in order to prepare for this eventual war, Chizkiyahu works at diverting the water from the springs outside the walls of the city, so the Assyrians, the people of Ashur, will not have a water supply when they surround the city. He fortifies the walls of the city also, as described in Perek Lamed Bet of Divrei Hayamim Bet. Many of you have probably toured and waded through Chizkiyahu's water tunnel when visiting Ir David, the city of David. And that goes back to this time. After both of these events comes the beginning of our Perek, when Sanherib comes upon Yerushalayim a second time and sends Rav Shakeh. Divrei Hayamim, Perek Lamed Bet, also describes that Chizkiyahu organized his soldiers and spoke to them, saying, Chizku v'imtzu, don't be afraid from Melech Ashur. Ki imanu rav me'amo. Imo zroa basar v'imanu Hashem Elokeinu le'azreinu u'lehilachem milchamotinu. They only have human power, but we have Hashem to fight our battles. Hashem is on our side. And the pasuk relays that the people were encouraged by this speech. When Sanherib hears about these actions of Chizkiyahu, he sends his officers to intimidate the nation and attempts to subjugate them. And he has them stand by the Brecha HaElyona, by the upper water source, purposely, because it was proof of Chizkiyahu's act of rebellion against Ashur when he diverted those waters. The Perek ends off in a depressing state as Chizkiyahu's officers come to the palace to speak to the king, visibly in a state of mourning, and relay to the king the demoralizing words of Rav Shakeh. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.